There's smart, and there's too smart. Smart gets you by. Too smart gets you screwed. Then there's that hazy middle ground. The real trick of it all is how you react. To the impossible, I mean. Not that it matters now, but if I had a chance to do it all again, I don't think it would have turned out this way. And to be honest, I'd take just about any other scenario. I figured the best time to catch one of the little bastards was winter. The dead of winter, January. When that freaking muck that looks like moss mud soup and sucks like quicksand the rest of the year is hard as a thick sheet of dirty, sickly pea-green glass. I was right. First off, let me tell you that the locally legendary imp of Elwood Mire is no legend. The thing is no more myth than a coelacanth, although I'd sure as hell rather have caught one of those instead. According to what I knew when this began, Impy, that's what I'll call the little piece of crap, couldn't come after you. He couldn't crawl across your dark summer lawn in the small of the morning, steal in through your window and work his perversions on you there. No, someone with a little mojo or something apparently knocked him down a notch or two in the way back when. And he couldn't be such a bad sport now. He played all his games exclusively on his home turf these days. Make that on his home muck. Here, in the American Midwest, we like to push it by building in potential river and creek flood areas, but Elwood Mire is a definite exception to that I ain't afraid of no flood mentality. Trapped between tributaries to the Mississippi, the oddly shaped patch of land lays so low and is so heavily tree-shaded that it typically spends its summers wetter than the low-lying islands in the nearby King of North American rivers. I've heard of people finding morels as big as cantaloupes there. But people exaggerate. Why, someone back in the family tree of Elwood paid for this tract of useless land once upon a time, I doubt anyone can know for certain these days. Records were spotty back then, I'm sure. And the only thing the locals around here can tell you is that whoever owns a swamp right now isn't bragging about it. I couldn't believe the price of the house until I realized why it had to be so cheap. It bordered on Elwood Mire. Forget Impy. What lowered the price here was the smell. The mire was where a lot of things came to die. And it wasn't just the rotting animal and bird carcasses atop the mushy green land that wasn't land that produced the dull sewer-like odor. The steaming algae cranked up an impressively dense reek of its own, even when no dead things were littered. All that separated my property from Stenchville, I discovered the day after buying the fixer-upper and adjoining half-acre of solid ground, was a dense hedge of honeysuckle shrubbery under a narrow strip of trees. Past this moderately permeable natural fencing, the swamp didn't waste any time. 5 strides beyond the far edge of the shrubbery, and you know you've gone too far. There go your boots. I know this because that's what happened on day one at the new digs. In my case, it was $75 down the drain. Because I gave up looking for the right boot after a miserable hour spent swatting mosquitoes and coating myself from head to toe in green slime. What sinks into Elwood Mire is gone for good.